Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, from the second book of Kings, we heard about Elijah and Elisha, and today we hear something similar from the book of Sirach, this time chapter 48, verses 1 to 14. Like a fire, there appeared the prophet Elijah, whose words were as a flaming furnace. Their staff of bread he shattered in his zeal, he reduced them to straits. By the Lord's word, he shut up the heavens and three times brought down fire. How awesome are you, Elijah, in your wondrous deeds, whose glory is equal to yours? You brought a dead man back to life from the nether world by the will of the Lord. You sent kings down to destruction and easily broke their power into pieces. You brought down nobles from their beds of sickness. You heard threats at Sinai, at Horeb, avenging judgments. You anointed kings who should inflict vengeance, and a prophet as your successor. You were taken aloft in a whirlwind of fire, in a chariot with fiery horses. You were destined, it is written, in time to come, to put an end to wrath before the day of the Lord, to turn back the hearts of fathers toward their sons, and to reestablish the tribes of Jacob. Blessed is he who shall have seen you, and who falls asleep in your friendship. For we live only in our life, but after death our name will not be such. O Elijah, enveloped in the whirlwind. And then Elisha, filled with the twofold portion of his spirit, wrought many marvels by his mere word. During his lifetime, he feared no one, nor was any man able to intimidate his will. Nothing was beyond his power. Beneath him, flesh was brought back into life. In life, he performed wonders, and after death, marvelous deeds. Here were two prophets who sought to follow the Lord, to do whatever it was that God wanted of them. And they performed marvelous works, marvelous miracles for the people of God. Brothers and sisters, the point is not the marvelous deed. The point is, did the people who saw the marvelous deeds change? Did they come to believe in God or not? I see so many people today attending all kinds of religious events, and they say, well, this was good or this was nice, but they, in a sense, keep God at a distance. Sometimes they don't even know that there is a much more intimate relationship with God that God wants us to have. So often we attend beautiful, beautiful events and ceremonies, masses, all kinds of religious events. I'll just summarize it that way. And we hear it with our mind, or we see with our mind, we grasp, we know what happened, but it doesn't change our hearts. It doesn't call us deeper. Rather than just saying, no, that was nice, what we ought to be saying is, Lord, why are you showing yourself to me this way? Why are you revealing yourself in this conversation or this book I'm reading or this priest that I heard giving a very good homily or whatever the case might be? Lord, what do you want to say to me as I hear this? Because God uses everything to draw us closer to himself. Do you allow yourself to be drawn closer to him? That's the question. This reading goes on to say, then Elisha, filled with the twofold portion of his spirit, wrought many marvels by his mere word. During his lifetime, he feared no one, nor was any man able to intimidate his will. Nothing was beyond his power. Beneath him, flesh was brought back to life. In life, he performed wonders, and after death, marvelous deeds. He knew that God had gifted him, and he was not intimidated or sidetracked or drawn into other circumstances. He was focused on what God had given him. Are you focused? When was the last time you were very inspired by something? A homily, a retreat, a conversation that you had with someone. What have you done with what you received? Are you opening your heart to say, Lord, why did you let me experience this? What do you want me to learn? Rather than just saying, oh, yes, that was very nice, or, oh, yes, I was very inspired by that. And then we go on with our daily life and we don't say, what am I supposed to do with that inspiration? See, that's the next step. Lord, you allowed me to hear this or see this or participate in this. And it's brought me great peace, or it's brought me joy, or it's brought me hope, or whatever you may be experiencing. And to say, Lord, thank you for this. Use it for your glory. Use me for your honor and glory. If I'm inspired by this, how can I impart that to someone else? What are you asking of me? And then wait on him. Don't just come up with a bunch of good ideas. Wait on the Lord. He'll show you. He'll let you know how he wants you to put your inspiration to work. It might be very simple and very hidden. Just do what you think the Lord tells you to do. As long as it's good and true and beautiful, do it. The Lord wants to reveal himself. He wants to manifest himself among his people. He wants his people to know his presence. And as I said at the beginning, it's so often we have an experience and then we just let it go. Oh, that was nice. Or yes, I had a nice evening. Or yes, I had a good weekend. Or this was a good retreat. Or this was a good day-long event or whatever. But we don't do anything with it. Please think about that. Please ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to inspire you the next time you're inspired, the next time you're touched. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Sometimes it's something that God wants to do in us first, and then with that fruit, having us reach out to others. So ask him. Ask him to help you to see what he's doing in your life, why he's inspiring you, what he's leading you toward. Ask him. Rejoice in the Lord, you just. The Lord is king. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many isles be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Justice and judgment are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes round about. His lightnings illumine the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his justice. All peoples see his glory. All who worship graven things, the things of this world, the things that this world holds up, are put to shame, who glory in the things of naught. Whoa. Do you find your pleasure in the things that will not last? Is that where you stop? Or are you open to the eternal goodness that God desires to impart to you today? Are you open to seeing how God wants to work in your heart and how he wants to change your life? Start by reading the scriptures every day. Start by giving God at least 15 minutes every day, and that's minimum. And read the scriptures, read the readings of the day. But take time to apply. Don't just hear the words. Apply it to your life. What does God want of me? Any questions you have, email me. And then we have the beautiful passage from Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, in praying, do not babble like the pagans. Don't just say a lot of words, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not my name, thy name. Thy kingdom come, not mine. Thy will be done. That's the hard one. Lord, I want my will to be done, but help me to want your will more than my will. That's where happiness will be. It's hard. It takes faith. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice, Give us what we need for today. We want to store up for years to come, but the Lord says, pray for your daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You want God to forgive your sin? Then you need to forgive others. That's a dangerous part of this prayer, as I've often said. Pay attention to it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then Jesus says, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. Brothers and sisters, that is a very, very serious set of verses in Scripture. It's very serious. And we do not follow it. We hold grudges, bitterness, gossip, attempt to hurt the one who has hurt us. We're given in to resentment. We're given in to revenge. We're given in to bitterness. And Jesus says, forgive. And we've talked about this a lot, and I'm going to say more about it. But for the moment, when you've been hurt, when something has seriously gone wrong, yes, you need to take some action. And I'll say it again because I want it graven on your minds, what John Paul said. Forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. You can still pursue justice if it really is a need for it to be pursued. You can pursue it. It's not the opposite of justice, but it's the opposite of, and those of you who listen to me regularly say it with me, it's not the opposite of justice, it's the opposite of resentment and revenge. And our lives are plagued by resentment and revenge. You ask the Lord, give me the grace to forgive. Help me, just pray it every day. Open your heart every day. Give me the grace to forgive. It will make an incredible change in your life. Look, Jesus told us what the prayer was of the Father, our Father's prayer, how we were to pray to him. He told us, and he emphasized that point on forgiveness because he knows what we're like. He knows what we're like. Look at Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you could say, well, yeah, that's Jesus. Well, the same Spirit of the living God is in you. By baptism, by confirmation, the Spirit of the living God is in you. God will give you the grace and the strength to forgive. Open your heart to him and count on my prayers. Because what a world it would be if we could forgive those who have transgressed against us and allow the living God to expand in our lives and to bring peace to a world that is in chaos, a world that is tormented. May God use you and bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.